A car accident that permanently disabled a young athlete is forcing courts in Illinois to take a look at the long hours worked by medical residents. The lawsuit coincides with new studies that find when doctors in training work long shifts, they're more likely to cause motor vehicle accidents when they leave work. Rachel Gottbaum reports.
The accident happened 7 years ago when Heather Brewster was 23 and a first-year graduate student in physical therapy. She was driving home from a baseball game when her car was rear-ended by Soo Kim Hong, a medical resident who had just finished a 36-hour shift at Rush Medical Center. Hong had gotten just 2 hours of sleep and dozed off on Interstate 88 outside of Chicago when she hit Brewster's car. Brewster suffered massive brain injuries and was in a coma for weeks. Today, Brewster lives with her parents in Wheaton, a manicured suburb west of the city. She sits on a couch and watches a video of the days when she was an Illinois state champion in volleyball.
That's me right there, number four.
Brewster is a tall, attractive woman with blue-green eyes and a warm smile who's been declared incompetent by the courts. She walks and talks slowly and doesn't remember a lot of what she used to.
I was always an athlete. I played college volleyball. And so things for me were moving along very nicely. And my life has definitely turned for the worse.
Brewster's family is suing Dr. Hong and also Rush Medical Center. Kevin Conway is the Brewster's attorney.
It's the hospital who is the one who benefits from working one of its residents almost five normal shifts. You would expect as an employer that that person would be very, very tired. And you as an employer should expect that you've damaged that person and that you've disabled that person.
Conway maintains that the hospital was negligent when it required Hong to work such long hours and then allowed her to drive home. But Rush's attorney, George Galland, says the hospital was obeying Illinois law and did nothing wrong.
Are we going to have the personal injury system punish you by holding you liable for conduct which you can't control once the resident leaves the hospital? It's way too big a box to open up.
Currently, residents' hours are set by the Accreditation Council of Graduate Medical Education. 2 years ago, the organization reduced residents' on-call shifts to 30 hours maximum. But to many, those hours are still too long.
Being awake for 24 hours impairs performance in a manner that's comparable to a blood alcohol level of 0.1%.
Dr. Charles Seisler is head of sleep medicine at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. His recent study, which surveyed 2,700 first-year interns, found that when they worked long on-call shifts, they were more than twice as likely to get into car accidents after leaving the hospital.
It's just as irresponsible and dangerous to drive when you're drowsy as it is to drive when you're drunk.
There have been attempts in Congress to pass laws restricting residents' hours, but so far, none have passed. Currently, New Jersey is the only state in the country that makes driving drowsy a criminal offense. The Committee for Interns and Residents is working on other state and federal efforts to reduce resident work hours and filed an amicus brief on behalf of Heather Brewster's family. Simon Otterides is a second-year resident based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and regional president of CIR. He says the courts may be the only way to force change to a long-held tradition.
Without liability, they have no incentive to make a change. Right now, hospitals do very well on resident labor. If they're paying us a fixed salary and can keep us inside the hospital for 100 hours a week, they have no incentive to reduce our hours.
A handful of hospitals have already begun to reduce resident hours, and some institutions give out cab vouchers to those who work long on-call shifts. Brigham and Women's Hospital is among them. But Chief Medical Officer Dr. Anthony Whittemore worries that training and patient care will suffer if residents spend less time in the hospital. And there are other issues, he says.
It can be overwhelming if we literally have to double the number of individuals to cover a 24-hour shift. That is a massive commitment of dollars and manpower that may not actually exist.
Whittemore agreed to talk on tape about the Heather Brewster case against Rush Medical Center. But few hospitals want to discuss the possibility of being held liable for fatigued residents once they get off work. The case is now on appeal. A Attorney for Rush Medical Center, George Galland, says the courts should not be used to regulate the country's 100,000 medical residents.
By all means, let us regulate the working hours, if we want to, of residents. If we think that it is consistent with good medical care to restrict resident working hours and consistent with the public interest, let's do it. But by all means, let us not do this through the personal injury tort system. That's the worst possible way to do it. It will only hurt hospitals.
But the courts have been in the role of shaping policy before, and that could happen again here, says Harvard Law professor Jonathan Zittrain. This case, he says, could ultimately force a change in how doctors are trained and how hospitals do business.
Sometimes a single case can have the effect of an all-powerful regulation. This case may reflect that a certain moment has come where we're prepared to actually look at the residency system as something other than a sacred cow.
The ACGME, which sets the standards for doctors in training, plans to reduce resident hours even further, perhaps as early as this summer. In the meantime, oral arguments in the Brewster case against Rush Medical Center are scheduled for March 9th. For NPR News, I'm Rachel Gottbaum.
You can read some of the researchers' findings on the risks of fatigue in medical residents at our website, npr.org.